Yeah, so right now we're going to be speaking to two psychotherapists, Tom Conlon, and Tom is has been in the media very much so recently about his desire to set up a support group in Middleton. So we'll just get right to us. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Darren. Nice to
be here. I'm just going to adjust your levels there, Tom. We're so busy chatting. Off air, I forgot to do it, of course. Remiss of me, of course. But so welcome to the show. So Tom, you're embarking, I suppose, in a very unique project in Middleton, our near neighbours, to set up a men's support group to get people to open up about their struggles with mental health, and men, I suppose, notoriously reluctant to speak about. What ails them in many ways, especially around the areas of mental health. So first of all, I suppose, where did you get the idea for this, or how did it come about?
I suppose it goes back to the work that I did with the men's shed down in Dungarvan. I think it's 2014, and they were very kind to have me in their midst to come along and to convene a group for them within the shed itself. So I worked with about eight of the men down there, and so what we did was a 12-week support group, essentially, and so my job was to set up a very safe space for you know, the folk in the group, and essentially they got on with dealing with the sort of issues you're talking about, so mental, physical health, and other issues that were actually important to them. So I worked with them. It seemed to have gone well, and I'm glad to tell you that as at the start of the group, at the open evening we'll have in Middleton on Friday, members of the men's shed from Dungarvan will be coming along to describe to the group what their experience was like. So I think that's a lot better than me actually describing it, and they're going to come and tell the truth for good or for bad. But it went well. So that was the idea, I suppose, at the start. But I think that the other thing that crossed my mind, Mary O'Farrell, I work with Mary, she's in the Holistic Centre in Middleton, and one day she said to me just recently, and this is the real trigger for it, she said, you know, there are 300 women from the local community going down to the Garryvaugh Hotel today to have a chat about themselves, really, 300 women. And across my mind, where might there be a space for men to do something similar, to come and talk about what's going on for them? And in my experience, anyhow, typically if men go, they go to the pub, but they will do everything but talk about themselves. They talk about the horses or the race or whatever it might be. And I said, would it be possible to offer a group for men to come and talk about what it is that's important to them in terms of mental, physical health and other issues? And so that's what this project is about.
And it's called the Men's Positive Living Group. Mm. And the open evening is this Friday coming?
This Friday coming in my place, the community centre in close to Super Value in Middleton, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. It's open to anybody, and I open to men and women. And in fact, there will be men and women at this session, you know. So it'll be people that potentially people who will come and become members of this group. There will also be other practitioners, health practitioners in the local community will be there, who may actually in turn actually support this group. So it's going to be interesting, you know, and those practitioners will talk to the potential members to say, you know, what it is they might be able to contribute. So we're talking about matters like nutritionists, fitness, yoga, mindfulness, that type of thing. So this is sort of a holistic offering, essentially. It's a bit of talk, but there's other aspects about how men can actually take care of their health.
Yeah. Okay. Once the group is set up, and you're hoping to get the first one off in early February, how do you see each session, unfolding?
Okay, well, the way this will work, but of course this will depend on the members who will make the decisions about this. But what's in mind is that the early session essentially would be to work out what it is that the men want to achieve out of the group collectively. I imagine maybe three or four of the sessions will involve one of those practitioners coming in every week and spending maybe 20, 30 minutes with the members of the group to talk about a yoga session, for example, which is one of the possibilities. And then the men would have a chance to talk about that and other things, really. But that would be the early structure of the group. I hope later on is that we could probably, if there's enough of a bond between the members of the group, we could you know, come along and they will decide their own agenda as to what it is that they want to achieve out of the group. You know, so.
How hard do you think it's going to be to get men to open up again without the use of 10 pints?
I suppose that my experience, my experience of the group, say for example down in Middleton, sorry, in the men's shed in Dungarvan, was once there was safety and confidentiality about the group, once there was a feeling that I can say what I want to say, once that's established, I think people, everybody can get on with it, you know. So I think the early days really are about establishing that, you know. And I remember the Men's Shed in Dungarvan, there were things that were difficult to discuss, and people knew each other very well, but there were thorny issues, you know. So I think really it was about the confidence in the group that the members would maintain confidentiality and keep the group safe. And in fact, you know, my understanding is that was absolutely the case, you know. So so as a facilitator, that's my job to help those early sessions to set that up. But afterwards, my experience is, you know, the men were actually fantastic in just getting on with it, getting on with the work of the group. Yeah.
How important is, and again, we spoke off air, maybe having the analogy of a GA meeting or an NA meeting, Gamblers Anonymous meeting, where what's the real success of those meetings is that peer support, yeah, and hearing the stories and experiences of other addicts.
Well,
did you see that being the key?
I think absolutely essential. I think, you know, you will learn off the other members of the group. You know, I did some work with the Alzheimer's Society as well, a similar group like that. And one of the very interesting things that came out in the middle of the work was that in the most difficult thing was actually taking away the driving license for somebody experiencing Alzheimer's. And I remember one day in this group that this was discussed, and people were extremely interested. It was the most difficult thing to do for all concerned, you know, but there was a way of learning from others how this was achieved and managed and done in a dignified manner, you know. So absolutely, I think the you know, people will learn from each other. My real hope actually, and is that at the end of a group like this, there, you know, the people who've been involved in that, there'll be a network, a trusted network, so that will endure well beyond the actual end of the group, you know. So it's something we've learned to trust each other, and that goes on. So that's one of my real hopes for the group, that there will be that connectedness that will go on for a long while after the group is finished.
Okay, I suppose talking about mental health has become, I suppose, okay. Slogans including "It's good to talk" and "It's okay not to be okay."
Yep.
In your daily practice and in your daily experience, how easy or how has that changed? I suppose that people's perception changed. Has it become easier for men in particular to talk about mental health, or is there still a kind of stigma attached to it?
That's a great question. It really is. It's very topical because, you know, there are men in my practice, and I'm fortunate. There's some extremely good GPs around the area around Middleton, and what I've found is actually by the time that, you know, the work, you know, started with the GPs, by the time they come to me, they are ready to speak, and that's down to the work of the GPs, that the, you know, the trust that goes on there, that in terms of the referral. And in my experience, once people have been through, you know, been through the mill a bit, by the time they come to me, they're ready to speak, but it's whether, you know, it's still difficult, you know. I think it's a long journey with regard to recovery with mental health issues, you know. But I would say in the middle of it all, the key thing is getting people to speak, and probably in addition to that, being heard. I think it's one thing to speak, but not all of us are heard very effectively, you know. So I think, again, you know, psychotherapy, the support group is somewhere where I come and I will be heard, you know? And I, from my own experience, the road to change is really, have I been heard? Have I heard myself speaking? Which is that is almost the first step with regard to improvement in one's life, in my experience.
Again, in your professional capacity, how well or not well is mental health services supported and funded by the HSC and other organisations? I mean, because on one hand we see more and more groups like Piet House and Samaritans emerging, but on the other hand we still see, I suppose, an increase in suicides, increase in mental health issues, increase in addictions, and so on. You know, so even though maybe there are more services available, there still seems to be a need for more services down the line as well.
Yeah, well, you know, my work is primarily referrals from GPs and from the psychiatric community as well. And across the whole piece is that it's very clear that they're all very, very stretched. I was on to a psychiatrist yesterday about a requirement that I have. It's full up, you know, waiting lists. One psychiatrist talked to, it's 4 months of a waiting list. So, you know, even if you wanted to get to talk to them, it's going to take that length of time. So very stretched. You know, GPs work very late hours. And so there is this problem with regard to the availability of the services to actually to help, a full stretch as far as I'm concerned. So one of the things that's gone on in my mind about the support group is that, and one of the ways we might say that it might be successful is that it's reducing the burden on those already overstretched services. You know, so if I could come back to you in 3 or 4 months' time and say GPs are saying, yeah, you know, someone went to that group and I haven't seen them for 2 or 3 months, and that might be our you know, indeed things like medication, for instance, being reduced. These might be indicators that in fact a group like this is working. So I see initiatives like this is very much actually taking the burden off the excellent professionals that serve this community.
Yeah. Now, in terms of young people, we have two of them in the studio today. Mm. Typically, would you see people?
I see young adults essentially.
What kind of issues or problems, but
it won't surprise anybody to know that at the front line of all of this is anxiety. That seems to be it might have been depression a few years ago, but it seems to me, and from what I'm seeing, is that anxiety is at the front end associated with depression. Okay, so this is what I'm discovering. One of my Coleman Nocter is a physician up in St. Patrick's in Dublin, and he said it's an epidemic. You know, now, and I talk to other practitioners regularly, and this seems to be at the front line. You know, the issue about anxiety. So that's great challenge for us, and how to treat that compassionately and in a dignified manner is one of the big issues for mental health practitioners now. Yeah.
Okay. So typically, how long would you see each session or each evening session lasting?
In the support group, is it? Yeah, it'll be 1.5 hours. Okay. So there'll be 10 sessions, 1.5 hours, and it'll start in early February.
And numbers-wise, it can take any kind of numbers?
There's an upper limit of about 11 people, okay. Lower, you know, and we'd need about 5 or 6 to actually get going, but I'm confident that we'll get the numbers.
Okay. So 11 is a nice number.
It really means that there's space for people. You know, there's too many. I think it's very hard to get be heard and things like that, you know. What I would say as well is that any member of this group, I'll have a conversation with them subsequent to the open evening to discuss suitability for a group, because it's not for everybody, you know, it really is not. So I want to make sure that, again, as part of that idea about being safe in a group, that it's going to work for people, and that, I suppose, as well, like if you start, that you'll finish. You know, there's the thing about commitment to it as well. So I'll be looking to talk to people about commitment and about suitability and before people would be accepted for the group.
And would people have to sign up, say, for a certain number of weeks or months?
The length of the group is 10 weeks.
Okay.
So, you know, we then look at all to make it work for others is that, you know, I think people reasonably would expect me to have checked in the commitment of others. But, you know, it'd be a great disappointment if you get used to somebody in the group and then you discover 3 weeks later that, you know, they've headed off. And you know yourself, I imagine, with regard to things like gym memberships, you know, people come in at this time of the year with New Year's resolutions and I'm going to do it and all the rest of it, and then it tails off quite a bit, you know. So I will be listening out to make sure that if you're going to start, that with any look at all, and you know, that you'll stay the course.
And in terms of suitability, you'll obviously be able to assess when speaking to them, if they are suitable, but also maybe if they need further help or further counselling or even hospital treatment or whatever the case may be.
This would be very well supported, okay? So this is, that absolutely if issues may emerge, and ones that people might not predict, you know, like something might come out and you hear something said but that support will be there. One of the things I will be doing as well is that, and with the permission of the members who are coming in, that I'll have access to their doctors. So if something does emerge, that I'll be seeking permission to go and talk to the doctor, say, listen, something's come up, and you need to be aware of that. So as I said, safety first is the big issue for me, to make sure that if something comes up and it's a struggle for people, then we can make sure that they're fully supported, you know. So, you know, the profile of people coming here will be people who already know about mental health, you know, that the struggles with mental health, they will have been through some of these things, you know. So I've had some of those conversations already with potential members, you know, so I just want to make sure this is safe for people.
So finally, Tom, because we're way over time, how can people, I suppose, enrol or find out more about
okay, the group is on Eventbrite. It's also on Facebook, you can sign up there if you prefer to do the traditional methods of calling me, which is 086-368-8824. That's 086-368-8824. I'm also on tom@tomconlon.ie. That's tom@tomconlon.ie. So either way, I'd be very glad. There is still space available. I would like people to let me know in advance, though. It's going to make it a lot easier for me to actually to prepare on the evening itself.
Yeah. Okay. And must you register before the opening evening, or can you just come along?
You can come along, but I really would prefer people call me, because we're going to have tea and coffee for people. I want to make sure that people don't get disappointed and the buns, you know. So
enough biscuits.
Yeah, well, you know, all that. And I want to make sure Cara O'Reilly is a colleague of mine, is a nutritionist, and I believe she's making some special buns for the night. Okay. And I want to make sure that everybody gets a little snap of those, you know. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a fantastic initiative. Badly needed, and it really is great to have that kind of peer support and that the group support that I hope that the group will bring about. Is there any chance to maybe one in you all down the line?
My hope for this is that the template for this is relatively straightforward. You know, and in fact, I was asked about doing something like this in Cork. There's no reason not to believe that, in fact, that this could actually run in other locations, you know. So absolutely, you know. So I'm connected to other people who do the work like I do. I see why not. Could we not do this for men's group anywhere in the country, really?
Okay, yeah. Brilliant stuff. Well, again, those details again. The Men's Positive Living Group will commence Friday evenings in February. The open evening is this Friday coming, January the 18th, 7:30 to 9 p.m. in the Midland Holistic Centre, 2 Main Street, Middleton.
It's actually in my place. It's been changed owing to take up again.
So my place. In Middleton, the old fire station, of course. Yeah. You can contact, as Tom said, you can contact Tom at tomconlon.ie, or the phone number is 086-368-8824. Lots of eights there. And again, give us a call here on the station. We'll pass on those details to you if you're looking for more information on it. So again,
thanks, Darren.
Tom,
appreciate
and very best luck.
Thank
anyway, you. Maybe I'll come back to us in a few weeks.
Absolutely.
And keep us informed and posting how it's all going.
Thank you.